Deborah Chow did that. Jon Favreau wrote that and Mando killed that. I can't wait to talk about Chapter 3, The Sin, right now.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
Welcome What's to up? The shit! Wow, 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 wow. So excited. More than even the first episode to talk about this one.
More.
Wow. Welcome to the Mandalorian After Show, AfterBuzz TV. We're going to jump right in with our introductions. I'm Master Steph Sabra. Excited to be
Chewbacca's
here.
Chewbacca's daughter.
A.K.A. Chewbacca's long-lost daughter. Mm-hmm. To my left is Rylo Ren, Ryan Nilsson in the building.
Head of Popcorn Talk. Loving Star Wars news every Thursday, 4 p.m. PST. So excited to talk Chapter 3 of The Mandalorian.
Gang, gang. And to our left is the Marvel movie news / Star Wars super fans, Admiral Zia Anderson.
Hi! I'm so freaking pumped to talk about this episode. Like, I need to calm down.
And Grand Moff Christian Blatt.
Yeah, it was all right.
No, we are so excited. And we're going to be breaking it down of the delivery of the bounty, change of heart in those action scenes that we got, and then kind of dive into the Mandalorians and the culture and the flashbacks that we got, a little bit more insight. And then we'll have our special segment, which is our directorial
highlight
on Deborah Chow herself. I'm wearing my Asian American Girl Club shirt because not only as a woman, as an Asian American woman, but as a Star Wars fan, she killed it!
Crushed it!
So excited. And then we will have news and gossip from Zia, and our man Christian Blatt is in the chat. So if you're joining us live on YouTube right now, please join in on the conversation.
We have more people in the chat than we have for any previous episodes, so let us know what you think right now.
Holla, holla.
And then
we'll get into some predictions because I think they'll be very juicy. For our overall thoughts, it's a little bit switched up because we're going to start it off with Ryan, who prepared an opening statement because that's just how hyped he is.
I am so hyped. Steph Sabra, Chewbacca's daughter. Last night was nuts. Last night was crazy, okay? Let me just take a little Drake and Josh quote here. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not an emotional man. But last night, I got super emotional talking Mandalorian Chapter 3, having a bit of a Kyle Brandt moment here. You know, for a long time, Star Wars has been, it's been a really divisive fandom. Mostly positive, but there's always been a few doubters. There's always been a few, you know, negative thoughts, whether it's the new movies, the animated TV shows. And we've been hyped for this series, Mandalorian, for so long. And the first two episodes were like, they were good, I'm sold, I'm watching, but like, what do you got? Enough of the Baby Yoda memes, I love them. Enough of the amazing trailers, the TV spots, the concept art. What's the story? Last night, we got the story, it delivered, it was awesome, and you might notice the bags under my eyes. That's because I was up so late, because my heart rate was beating at 300 beats per minute, I couldn't fall asleep. The last time I was this excited was February 4th, 2018, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. That's how awesome this episode was. Mandalorian Chapter 3, and shout out to MVP, Deborah Chow, first woman and a person of Asian descent to direct a Star Wars live action piece of material. She killed it. We're going to talk about her later. This was so special. And you know what? Let me tell you this, all the haters out there. Cancel the Emmys, because we know who's winning, okay? Don't even book a reservation for the venue. We know what's going on. And you know, dear haters, for all those that just don't, they don't like the new Star Wars content, Disney can't do it. The Disney doubters. They did it last night, okay? And as the Mandalorian said, this is the way.
Yo.
All right? This show is the way.
This is
That's
the
my
way.
Statement.
This is oh the way. My.
You have to save that, Ryan. That was the most perfect thing I think I've ever seen in
this
my
was
life.
So
oh,
epic.
I'm sweating. Woo. Zia, I try to follow that.
I can't.
But seriously, give me your overall thoughts, because I know everyone loved this, but that was amazing. I'm really sweating. Thank you, Rye.
I can see it. For anyone who can't see it on camera, she absolutely is. That was incredible. I could not stop laughing. Yeah, I can't follow that. I'm just going to say I loved this episode so much. Like, I literally stopped watching. I got up early. I got up at like 6 a.m. to watch this episode because like I can't stay up late anymore because I get up so early. Mm. But I got up at 6 a.m. to watch this episode. I'm like watching it while my husband is getting ready for work. And as soon as it's done, I'm just like, I said out loud to a room room full of no one. It's just me. I'm like, I can't. I wanted to have time to watch it again. If I didn't have to write my script for Marvel News Daily, which will be up today. Yes. If I didn't have to write that script, I would have just watched it again. Mm. It was just so... it was so good. This is just exactly what I wanted. The first two episodes were amazing, but it was building. They did a great job of setting the story up, of building. They gave us a couple of good reveals, and then they just jump in with this. And also, might I add, my prediction from last week was correct, which yes. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I never get those right. I was right.
You're right.
Which one?
That that he was going to hand Baby Yoda in and then change his mind and go back for him. Which he did.
He really did that.
Oh, yeah. It was just so good.
Yeah, I gave him too much credit. I thought that he would have a heart at the beginning. But he's like, well, let me get all that sweet metal. And now that I've taken it and given it to my people, now I'm going to go and take Baby Yoda. But I actually thought that the pacing was great in this episode because... Last episode, it was basically Mando and Nick Nolte, you know, hanging out with a bunch of Jawas, which was great. But this, like, you know, definitely put it into another gear. And I feel like we're already, you know, from episode 4 all the way through to the end, I think we're going to probably maintain this this sort of accelerated pace from, like, the middle of this episode onward. Because everybody's, it's not like people aren't looking for him anymore. You know, so I thought it was great. A lot of cool little things that we got to see along the way. And there's something that we'll talk about that I've kind of always wanted to see ever since the first time we ever saw Boba Fett. Nice. So, I thought that this was great. I think that I'm going to envy anybody who, for whatever reason, doesn't watch this show until after all 8 episodes are up, because the fact that they can just go and watch the whole thing, it'll only take about 3.5 hours, but they'll be able to go all the way through. It'll take about 4 hours and 20 minutes. But still, just to not have to, like, because now I'm like, well, I got to wait till next Friday. And by the way, I ain't getting to watch this next Friday. It's Thanksgiving, and there's, you know, we have 2 Thanksgivings for my family.
I'm probably still watching. Yeah,
I'm so absolutely.
Family, you don't know what's going on, but let me tell you, you're joining in right now, right here.
I could say to my son, Felix, you have a shirt with Yoda on it, right? Yeah, let's watch
this. Gets it. Yeah. Felix gets it. Totally Christian's get it. Kids, don't let me get into it. Obsessed with them. not more than Baby Yoda.
I was
going to
say, almost.
Close.
Almost.
I will say, speaking of runtime, people in the comments last week, some haters.
Sure
love
did.
You. Love you, love you so much. But this is what I'm talking about. This wasn't 45 minutes, which is kind of what we were hoping for. Mm-hmm. It was 37 minutes and minus 5 for opening credits, ending credits. And it was amazing. I have 0 complaints about the time. It told whatever story you needed to tell for this episode absolutely perfectly. And I am so obsessed with Mando. And I was saying it, one of my notes, to quote Drake, please do not come at Mando like he's the same Mando from Chapter 1. He's at a higher place, all right? He has new armor and he's ready to just destroy, all right?
I love that Ryan quotes Drake and Josh. And I you get quote Drake.
And somehow we're like best friends. It's the weirdest relationship. Okay, let's get into the delivery of the bounty.
Ooh.
So good. So much tension in the scene. Mm. And we get a little bit more information about the client, and there, I just love the curiosity that I have between him, and we find out more when Mando returns and we hear there's someone higher than him. But what did you guys think about that scene where he delivers Baby Yoda?
50-year-old
Baby Yoda. 50,
but he woos and
coos and he's freaking adorable.
I think I really like this scene a lot. One worry I've had with this show is, you know, the protagonist, we don't see his face. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to convey a lot of what a character's feeling when you can't actually see an actor details in their performance. So it's just a lot of the subtle body movements, and there's only so much you can convey with that. And I was surprised how much it worked in this scene. You know, he's a little hesitant to drop off the baby, and right after he takes his reward, he stops and asks, like, what are your plans to do with it? I thought that, I was surprised how well that worked, because on paper, I really don't think it would have. I wouldn't have bought that it would work. So that scene was really awesome to me. It was great to go back into the room. Werner Herzog, awesome performance.
Oh my gosh, he is so good.
Everything he says.
It's just so, and I always talk about this with Game of Thrones and Star Wars too, the characters, because it's so based in fantasy and sci-fi, it can easily be cheesy, but when yes. you have actors like him, it is so, like, I'm like, all right, this is serious. This client, like, I'm not messing with him.
Yeah, he has a very air of being, like, evil, even though you don't know that he is, but you know that he is.
Right.
Like, he just does a great job of portraying where I'm like, oof, I don't know about this guy.
He's the best kind of evil that you see in Star Wars, which to me is not the Emperor, but Senator Palpatine, who's just always like, oh, I can't believe that I've now been elected. I had no idea this was going to happen. You know, and he's just sort of like that whole way that he plays everything, where he's just like, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, this is exactly what I wanted. So,
I
did see that. Ryan should take a look as well, that Jeff had a little photo that he showed to our audience.
No.
Yes.
It was a little baby Yoda.
Love you, too. Yeah, I really do think it was an awesome scene. And you know, you just know after he drops off baby Yoda and he's being taken away into another room, you're like, he's got to go back for him. Yeah. And it was that whole idea, like, he's going back, he gets the new armor, and you're like, wow, Mando's really feeling himself.
Right. But, that swag's on.
But I was so worried about Baby Yoda, like, what are they going to do to him?
Yeah, let's talk about that when he delivers him, and they're instantly testing him. It kind of gave me this throwback to when Anakin was being tested for his midichlorian, numbers.
Yeah.
And right. So I don't know, I think it was different, but it was... I'm curious what your thoughts on what they were looking for. They said he was healthy. Was it to see if he was force sensitive? What do you think?
I mean, yeah, that's what I'm assuming. I mean, that's what all the fuss is about, that they wanted him, is because, A, he's force sensitive, and not just a little bit force sensitive, where he has to learn his power. I mean, he is so powerful, and they must know something. And I'm thinking it's something along those lines. Go ahead.
What Mando overhears, you know, when he's using his little cool infrared helmet
yes.
thing, is that they're extracting something from him. So midichlorians would make sense. There could be something else. But I think that, you know, whatever they're interested in, Werner Herzog was just like, yeah, just, you know, you have to dispose of it when you're done. And the doctor, whose name I've already forgotten, but he...
Dr. Pershing.
Thank you, Dr. Pershing. He says that, well, that wasn't what they asked for. So whoever they answer to wants this thing alive. Werner Herzog's like, this is too much of a headache. Let's get rid of this thing. So I thought that doing the little stealth recon, I think, was good. Because, yeah, he does barge in guns a-blazing, but he kind of figures some things out first.
And you got to see the cracks in the bounty hunter code.
Yeah.
Raffi asks, hey, what are your plans for it? He's immediately like... What'd you say?
Yeah, he's like, I gave you your money.
Get out.
Yeah. What the heck? And you're breaking your code.
Yeah. And it's he's definitely not supposed to be emotionally attached to this baby, which we've seen happen. And you're right. He does a fantastic job of, without seeing his face, the hesitation in his movement. You really see that. And what I also really liked about that scene when he's giving Baby Yoda away, he also shows it when, first of all, the stormtrooper grabs Baby Yoda's carriage. And he's like, easy with that. Like, geez.
Get your hands.
But I also really liked the way that they managed to portray Baby Yoda. Like, I really think he understood what was going on. The looks that he was giving and just how they portray emotion with his ears, it looks like he's like, oh, this isn't good. He's giving me away. And I thought that I liked this guy, but maybe, you know what I mean? Like, they did a good job of, I think, showing that with Baby Yoda, like, where I think he's very aware of what's happening as the switch is being made.
He gives that sort of last longing look at Mando, like, oh, okay, this is how it is? All right, I really thought we were bros. Remember how I saved your life? All right. So, you know, I think when he sees him again, he's like, all right, I did have a good feeling about you.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he's very expressive in just, you know, some really minor sounds or whatever. And then it makes you wonder, did it take Yoda more than 50 to 100 years to learn how to talk? You know, was he like this when he was that little? Is that why he speaks a mixed up backwards language? Because it's hard to, you know, put it all together. These are all things that I was wondering as I was watching.
Speaking of Mando and Baby Yoda, two characters and our main characters, I can't really express themselves in the way other characters can. One has a mask and one's a baby Yoda. I think we have to give credit not only to Deborah Chow in the directing of this, but the sound design, the cuts, the edits. I mean, it was done. It was so well done, and you can't really do that. Like Ryan was saying, written, it must have been like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to make people fall in love with these two characters the way that we have? I mean, Baby Yoda broke the internet.
Wow.
Broke it.
Yes.
It's the way you shoot it, too. I mean, yeah. the cinematography of this episode and all the episodes so far, but really this episode, there was a sense of longing every time like Baby Yoda was leaving screen or being taken away. Mm-hmm. Like that, not only through just how he looked, but it's going to another room. It's over Mando's shoulder. And, you know, just the idea that everyone is in the background is bored. And Mando's just kind of like, okay, I'm always in trouble. There's a sense of danger through how this episode is shot. And also when you introduce the new characters, especially after he gets that money, you realize like this is gold. It's just little metal bars that we're not... We've only had one episode and seen, like, oh, it can make a shoulder pad.
Yeah.
But when you saw the whole stack, you're like, wow, that is.
And the client, that's when he said something like, finding the Beskar is easier than finding a Mandalorian.
Yeah, I had that in my notes.
What do you think of that line? Well, subtle shade.
It's more like, you know, you got this. You know, I think there's your people are on the run for a reason. You know, don't do anything to, you know, really put yourself back underground, basically, I think is what he was saying. What I wanted to backtrack to was as he's walking from his ship before he gets to the client. And the, you know, the little stroller thing is open. Everybody can see Baby Yoda. And that just tells you, like, how confident Mando is as he gave us evidence in this episode. Well deserved. But he's just like, yeah, why don't you go ahead and try and take this? Like, this thing that people are looking for throughout the galaxy that, you know, everyone on that planet had been given one of those fobs to try and find it. And he's got it there in broad daylight. You know, anybody could have just come to try and take him. Like, well, I'm going to go bring it to the client now.
And
he's
no just one like, tried.
Yeah, well, yeah, the fact that nobody tried was, like, impressive. Because, I don't know, I think you probably would have, something as high profile as that, you think you would have hit it or something, but now he's just like, Baby Yoda, check him out, right?
I got it.
Yeah, cool. It's true, because since there has been the fall of the Empire, we are in an area in time where there's kind of lawlessness going on. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that is an interesting point. But the question that I got during these scenes is, how did the client survive the fall of the Empire?
Well, and to that point, too, they talk about there's a part where he says, report them to the New Republic then. And Mando actually says, that's a joke. So it seems like there's just isn't anything established that's like solid enough to sort of have any of these like rules or laws or anything. So it is kind of lawless.
It's the Wild West.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really post Civil War. And everything's still it's getting reconstructed.
Right.
Nothing is set. Nothing's in stone. So it really is such an awesome Western. Like, this is maybe the most Western Star Wars has ever been.
I really was digging the score in this season, episode as well.
Like, yeah, I think it continues to get better.
Yeah.
I was going to say that Ludwig... Props to you,
Ludwig.
Man. Props to you. I do want to just shout out you guys in the chat right now. If you're watching us, hit that like button. Hit that like button right now. Also, leave us a comment after we finish our discussion so we can keep the conversation going. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, hello.
Hello, podcast listeners.
We love you, too. Make sure to give us those 5 stars. Leave us a review because we also love to chat it up there as well. Just want to shout you out. Much love, Star Wars fam. So let's get into the change of heart because, my God. Wow, I...
Change of heart.
Gia, why don't you start? Because this was your prediction.
Yes! I just had a feeling, because he's got that code of honor, and I just had a feeling that he was going to be like, no, I'm going through with this, and be like, what did I do? And I love the moment where he really makes up his mind that he's going to do it when he notices the knob that Baby Yoda had taken off and was playing with.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right, though? Like... And he looks at it and he just has that moment of like, I can't do this. I have to go back. And you just, it says so much. He can't move. I love that moment. I love that moment.
It says it was so fantastic. Much. Because that's one of the questions that we have is, what kind of man is the Mandalorian?
Right.
And that, I think, answers a lot of that.
Absolutely.
So are you saying he put the man in Mandalorian? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That's the moment where you realize that the episode's called The Sin. Because he's like, oh, God. What did I do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, yeah sure,
point.
I really want that armor, but, you know, I knew this was wrong, you know, the whole flight, walking and parading them through the streets and the actual handover. But I think that, you know, just that realization. And of course, you kind of knew. He's like, all right, getting ready to go. I'm like, sure you are. Uh-huh. You're going to go and catch Admiral Akbar's little brother or whatever it was. Right. And, just like him turning off the ship, you're like, yep. And that's why I loved what I referenced before, him like staking the place out. And of course, he sees the little floating stroller there in the dumpster out back.
That was heartbreaking.
That was heartbreaking. Because I'm like, man, I still want that.
That was such a great visual. I saw it coming too. I mean, you predicted it from last week, which I didn't see coming. But from the beginning of the episode, you're like, oh, he's going back.
Yeah.
I just love the way they did it. I love that little piece in the ship. Like, that is a believable piece of a detail for him to go back. And this is after, you know, change of heart. He also had a change of armor where he replaced all this armor and he's just looking fly.
I was gonna say, how good he's looking does he great. Look?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And everyone's like, whoa. Like, he walks into the bar, everyone's like, okay.
The bounty hunters are like, this guy.
This
and
man.
He just looks good. They know he's got that new Beskar on.
Can you be attracted to someone who you've never actually seen? Am I crazy?
Oh my god.
See, it happens online all the time.
you're
so
right.
So it's like, it's basically like you're DMing with Mando. You have no idea what he looks like.
No idea.
You're just in love with
him. But I'm in, yes.
Oh my gosh. And I do want to get into the armor, and we'll talk more about the Mandalorians as a whole, but I think the armor is essential to the scenes that follow. And we have where he goes back with the Beskar to build this new armor, and I love that the Sigling birds are the signets. Yeah,
Cygnets.
It's just like a beautiful moment that shows the deep culture that's embedded in everything that the Mandalorians do. And the scene when he's like coming back and he decides and he has a change of heart, and I was like, oh shit. Like, he just knocks down the door. He's just sniping everyone. What did you guys think about that scene? Because that's when I was like, I texted you, this is a movie.
It's a movie. It's a movie. It's that good of quality.
Why he's so great is that he's like, I got rope. I got a blowtorch. I got a couple of blasters. And, oh, by the way, I've got little mini heat-seeking missiles that I'm going to take you all out if I need to.
Those were amazing.
And that was amazing because I also like sort of the reality of like, oh, yeah, I've been using the flame a little too much. Now I'm out. You know, so I thought that was a nice touch too. You know, that, you know, at some point... It's like a Western. The fact that like their guns never run out, you know, you're like, okay, at some point you're going to run out of bullets. And I sort of like that. Now he's Mando, so he's got plenty of other ways to go about doing things. But that scene in particular, it just reminds you just that it doesn't matter which era of Star Wars a story is set. The stormtroopers are always garbage. They are the worst. That's part of the reason why those on YouTube, I wore this shirt that I enjoy very much.
It says,
I had friends on that Death Star. Yikes. And he has a tear.
They're probably gone.
They're gone.
Yeah. And just like you look at this, you can't have enough stormtroopers because it's always like, yeah, no, they're all going to get killed. Every single one of them.
But it does also really showcase his skill level as well. Like, he's so tactical about it, and he knows exactly what he's doing. And even when he gets surrounded, like you said, those heat-seeking, I mean, that was just fantastic. I was like, just when you think you know everything about him, he pulls something else out from his sleeve.
Yeah.
They're just like, how?
So cool. I was just reading one of my notes, and when he has Baby Yoda, and I was like, first of all, I'll take you out with a fucking baby.
Yeah. It was dope.
I can take you all out one-handed. I got a baby. Yeah.
Well, it was an interesting point you were saying earlier, like, when he's getting that armor and then all the way to when he decides to go back, you do learn a lot more about the culture and religion while he's delivering those pieces, those little metal chips. The crafter, I think I'll call her, she asks, okay, well, what'd you kill? Was it a noble kill? And he goes, no. Was the noble kill.
Yeah.
Oh, an enemy helped. Just didn't know it was my enemy.
Ugh.
So he's even realizing, like, okay, that bounty wasn't my enemy. Like, that was just a job, and he does care. So it all kind of connects even on a more moral level for him as to why he goes back for Baby Yoda. And it's interesting to think that it is a sin that he does deliver the armor, even though that's going to help the future Mandalorians, and that's what they kept referencing, like, oh, we're going to save a bunch of these for the kids that are coming up, the foundlings. Yeah.
Let me tell you directly from my notes. I was inspired to write, Zia sees it right now, I believe the foundlings are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way.
Yes.
So I would have broken out into song, but I was watching it by myself and it just wouldn't have been that much fun.
There's just so much
do it anyway.
Rich mythology.
I want them.
It's put throughout this entire episode.
Yeah, I really am interested in the Mandalorians as a whole. It's the first time I've considered converting religions. I just think it's such a strong story to tell because there is, it's kind of like the laws of war in terms of there's a lot of hypocrisy, and I think that there is some to explore with the Mandalorians because when you are a bounty hunter, you deem people your enemies, but they're not all the right. time. And I think you don't ask questions so that you don't know, but that doesn't mean that they're not your friend.
Right. You just that's your mark, so you have to sort of maybe put it in terms in your head of being they're the enemy, otherwise how else are you going to keep doing what you're doing? Yeah, exactly.
What did you think of so when he's getting that armor crafted and the other Mandalorians come up and they're like,
really
oh, these
moment.
Are Imperial chips. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? What did you think of that sequence? Because by all accounts, it looks like the Empire did something to them. But in those flashbacks, you see, no, it was the droid army that like gave him child trauma that took out his home. That was like the separatist droid army. That wasn't really stormtroopers or anything. So it was interesting to hear the other Mandalorians have some kind of vendetta. Like,
I mean,
don't use those.
I think they're referencing something more recent
that
we will hopefully learn about, which is not the droid army, but it's the actual, you know, the Empire and what, you know, how do you basically, you know, what happened to the planet of Mandalore where they're all from? Why aren't they not there? What did the Empire do? You know,
well,
they probably took over the planet and were like, okay, you're part of the Empire now. And they a lot of them probably ran and hid and they've stayed that way. So I think that it has a lot more to do with the last few years before this than his flashback. Mm. But we had a good comment in the chat about that flashback, which...
What is the chat saying?
The chat was saying... It was a prediction, which I know is a little ways off, but was... I'll find who to give credit to. But the... was like, you know, each time in the flashback, we see a little bit more. And this time, you know, we saw that droid as the door opened up. It was Christopher Curry, and he says, do you think that the next flashback will show a lightsaber go through that droid?
Yeah, that's definitely my prediction.
I want that visual.
So thank you for spoiling my prediction. I'm just kidding.
No,
so that was definitely. I definitely think that he has some sort of connection to the Force. So something happened where he has a little bit of an understanding.
But then he didn't understand. If we're to believe what he told Nick Nolte, we're to believe that he didn't understand what Baby Yoda did. He didn't understand the Force.
Yeah, I don't think he gets it. I think he's aware that there's something more out
Maybe
there.
He just has a respect for Jedi Knights as you know, warriors, you know, with their fancy lightsabers.
Yeah, yeah, and he doesn't know that they actually use the Force. That is possible, because he could have been saved by that.
What if it was Yoda's lightsaber?
Okay, let's get into that final action scene and bleed into the Mandalorians more in depth, where all of the tracking devices are going out. Mando is completely, like, covered in every single section, and I'm just like, how is he going to get out of this? But, like, he warned you guys in chapter one, he likes these odds, baby. He likes these odds.
Don't tell him the odds! That was John Wick-esque, you know?
Yes.
If you've ever seen the John Wick films, at the end of the second one, they're like, everyone's after you. That was this episode. There's so many great nuggets planted early on, and then callbacks. Even when Carl Weathers is like, everyone got a chip. Everyone's got a tracker. And then that comes back into play.
Yes.
Wow.
I love just even just that small detail of the fact that as soon as Baby Yoda is taken and moves somewhere else, that all of the other trackers start going off again. It's not like, oh, these are done, and everybody still has them. So it's almost like they anticipated this, and they knew we're going to have every bounty hunter on this every step of the way.
Mm.
There might be a chance that they get Baby Yoda and it gets taken again, because this creature is in such high demand.
Right.
But I just love that scene, because the gravity of the situation just hits you square in the chest, where you're like, oh my God, he's going to have everyone on him. And there's the small part of you that's like, no, I know he's going to get out of it some way or another. It's just how he gets out of it.
Right.
But it did look like, for a moment, where he's looking down at the Baby Yoda, and there's a moment where it kind of seems like he thinks, this is it.
Yeah.
I'm dying to protect. And I was like, by the way, so talk about getting emotional.
Go off.
Actually started to, like, tear up a little bit when the rest of the Mandalorians came to rescue him. Okay. That was where I was like,
yeah, that scene leading up, the look to Baby Yoda, and then only for him to look up, and yep. then yeah. that happened.
Yeah.
Well, and the way I saw that was Baby Yoda's like, yeah, I mean, I guess if I have to. And then he's like, okay, actually, I don't.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I actually love the fact that he didn't just, I don't know, freeze everybody, put them all up in the air, you know, any of the things that a Jedi could have done. Yeah. And that's what I was expecting. So when instead we got what I referenced at the top of the show, which is something I would have always wanted to see as a kid, is Boba Fett was just one guy. And what if instead you had like 30 Boba Fetts and all flying and shooting? And I know it's the last line of the show, but I love that Mando was like, I got to get one of those. I'm like, yes, oh. Boba Fett could always fly and you can't. So come on.
And that's what he did.
Let's get a jetpack, bro. Yeah.
He's got that super cool new armor. Now he just needs a jetpack to go with it.
When he's on the speeder looking at Yoda like, this is it, man.
Yeah.
And Carl Woods is like, give it up. This is it. You're done. And you just see some kind of missile in the background, and then a bunch of jetpacks come up. I think I woke up everyone in the house.
Yeah, I was
flipped.
Amazing. Oh, but also I was telling Zia before this, that is the scene where I was like, if I could have a baby with a different species, this is the moment where I'm really considering searching.
Steph, what do you mean if? All right? You know, don't close yourself out.
Science will catch up.
You can see if maybe Yoda or a representative of his species is on Tinder or something. There might even be an app just for that.
Yeah, maybe there is a, there's a Yoda species app. Yeah.
What would you do for Baby Yoda?
I would Jesus Christ and die.
You mean crucify? Yeah.
Crucify yourself? Wow. Get crucified?
What would you do for me?
I don't think Baby Yoda would ask that.
Like, he wouldn't. Nothing I wouldn't do like, for Baby Yoda. Let me be clear.
That's die exactly.
Oh, man.
Stigmata you have.
Wow. Okay.
That's exactly how Mando feels. He's ready to die for this baby.
He really is. And he is, I think it might be that sense of abandonment. We don't know how that flashback plays out, but it looked like his parents closed the door.
They
explosion.
Died.
Yeah.
So he might have felt, not abandoned, but he might have just lost that he didn't have anyone to grow up with. And that maybe that's how he connects to this Baby Yoda. Yeah,
absolutely.
I definitely think so.
What an amazing action scene. Oh, my God.
Yeah, such a good scene. It was so well done. It really felt like a movie. It felt like Rogue One, seriously. Mm-hmm. It was so well done.
Almost better, though.
Yeah.
Steph.
I know.
Almost better.
Because we haven't seen Mandalorians just, like, fly in.
I have to watch Rogue One again before I can make that, because that was my favorite of all of the recent Star Wars movies.
A little bit of a happier ending.
Much happier ending.
So, just a little bit.
Much happier ending.
But, so the interesting thing there, and I was wondering what you all thought, was why the change of heart? So they talk about, you know, their tradition, their culture, being underground, the fact that there should only be one. So why do they think that this cause that he didn't talk to them about, so why are they all so invested in this now that they're like, we're going to help you do this because we know this is right, because absolutely he's in the right for what he's doing. But the fact that they all decided to help him without it, he didn't ask for their help.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting, and I just didn't know what any of you thought about that.
I mean, I feel like part of it comes from their culture and how important the foundlings and the youth of the Mandalorians are just in their culture and in for the future. And maybe that's just such a, like, they value children so much that they were, you know, thinking, oh my God, first of all, there's must be a big significance behind this Baby Yoda because of the crazy demand for either his death or his capture, whichever it is, depending on who wants to do what. And I think maybe a combination of that and just their culturally being like, this is a child, we can't in good conscience let it get taken or killed. Plus, this is our, you know, Mandalorian brother, or, you know, whatever term they use, that needs our help. And maybe that was part of it. I mean, we can only guess.
It's honor.
Honor.
I think it's honor. And I think they respected how much he's, when they confront him while he's getting his armor, and he's like, no, this is the way.
This
I know we're
the
using
way.
The Imperial
this
money.
Is the way.
This is the way.
Yeah.
And I really think he says that at the end.
I love
Everyone's
that.
Like, this is the way. They're on board.
They're like my samurai people. Very samurai-esque.
There's something very samurai about them. I mean, they have that cool, like, I don't know, tuning fork, whatever you want to call it, that, like,
explodes
pitchfork thing.
People.
Which is amazing.
Oh,
I mean,
my God, I
even
want
Carl
one.
Weathers was like, well, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
He was
like, nice
you want to see it up? You want to see it up close, Apollo Creed? Come here. Come on over here.
Ding, ding. it was great.
Which, that's another thing that goes back, because when you first see Boba Fett, he's animated in the Star Wars Christmas special, which Ryan hates. But this is the first time we ever see him. And he has that.
Yeah.
And you don't really see him with it in the movies, with that that tuning fork. I don't know what to call it. It's
a disintegrator. Yeah, in my head, it's a disintegrator.
Yeah. And, you know, so I just think it's great that he has it. I mean, some of the expanded universe stuff, you do see Mandalorians with those. So I'm glad that he's never without it, really. So I thought to actually see that he's clearly made some modifications to it. But he doesn't have a jetpack.
Right.
Yeah. It's very impressive.
But he does get out, and before he sees the jetpack, we see Greef Karga try one more time. And I thought he was dead. I'm glad he's not, because I think he's going to be an important part of the show moving forward. I don't think he's going to be the villain, but I definitely think he's going to be helpful to the villains.
He tries to help Mando in his own way. He's like, put it on the speeder and we'll talk about it. You know, he doesn't say like, we're going to shoot you right now. You know, he wants to help him in some way, but he's still got his other agenda. So I think he's a little conflicted in his own way. I don't think he's particularly loyal to Mando.
You think now that he got shot, he's still
a little different now? Because he's like, oh, thank God I had this though.
Beskar still saved him. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was neat about that? It was yet another sequence where something they show us early on, which was the carbonite freezing in the first episode on his ship, comes into play here. Again, it's another scenario like, how is he going to get out of this?
And the best car plates of him pulling it out in the bar.
The
detail here.
And to be able to do that in a story without you going like, okay, we're going to see that later.
Yeah.
You know, because how many times have you seen something that is in an otherwise good movie or TV show and something is, they're just a little too heavy handed with showing it?
Great point.
They did that so well in this, the fobs and the Beskar armor. The little palette. I thought that it was great because you would legitimately be able to be surprised. You know, I didn't need to see him pull it out. I was like, when he opened his eyes, I'm like, oh, I know what he's got.
Yeah, it was right there.
That Action Jackson, you can't
love
keep him
it.
Down.
Great
and then
point.
He gives him the little ball at the end. Like, they're flying away.
Bro.
And he's like,
oh, my
bro.
God.
Yeah.
It just doesn't get any better.
It can't. And I was telling Seth this before the show. This whole, like, I mean, Baby Yoda broke the internet. And I was watching this streamer play the new Star Wars game, and he was talking about it because he's a big fan. He loves the show and everything. And even he's, like, a 34-year-old man who's, like, a dude was like, Baby Yoda's the cutest thing I've ever seen. Like, he just can't, like, you can't.
It's universal.
It's universal. There's no way around it. It's just adorable. And that moment.
He's like the pop culture Jesus. Like, if there was a pop culture war, you just need to float Baby Yoda down and be like, stop.
A lot of references to our Lord and Savior today.
I know, and I'm like, not religious.
Can I quickly
echo? That's why I'm Mandalorian.
Just chiming in.
Wait, it's in the booth. It's the voice of God.
From the speaking of, yes. I don't know if it's going to be covered in news, but have you guys seen Werner Herzog's reaction to Baby Yoda stuff?
Yes, he brought to tears on set.
Yes. Just remember, Werner Herzog is like the brutal German Oscar winner who once said, the universe is monstrously indifferent to the presence of man.
This is the man who did the grizzly bear.
This can
yes.
do this.
And Baby Yoda made him cry. So.
Little tiny tidbit. Yeah. When you watch the credits, then the international credits start. Mm. German credits? Werner Herzog. He actually does the German in his character.
No.
Yeah, I saw that in the credits.
I do feel really bad for Europe, like, that they can't see this show. That sucks.
That does suck.
It sucks because you can't control the internet. But I do want to wrap this up before our segment on just The Mandalorian. There's a few quotes that I wrote down. That our secrecy is our survival, our survival's our strength. The Empire is no longer. Beskar has returned. When one chooses to walk the way of the Mandalore, you are both hunter and prey. Mm. So how much do you think this, like, now that they're kind of combined and become more united than ever in a sense, where do you think we're moving forward with the Mandalorians?
I think we got to move forward. They're going to show us more of the lore.
You
know, they highlight a lot of the Mandalorian's backstory in the animated shows Dave Filoni did, like Star Wars Clone Wars, even, and then a lot more in Rebels as well. But there is this big gap, and throughout the whole original trilogy and then the few years between Return of the Jedi and this show, and a lot has happened. So I really do think we're going to get more and more mythology, more and more history of what has happened, why they're underground here, and just the details of all that. And I'm very curious to see if they actually do bring Boba Fett back in to some level.
He's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Okay,
they've never confirmed confirmed that he died.
In the comics, they had him fly out of the Sarlacc pit, and then I was just like, no, you got eaten. The thing burped. It digested you.
But it's a great...
But it's digested for like 1,000 years, so, that's true. You know.
It's a great... It's so interesting, because up until now, the one, quote-unquote, mythology background other than... or not mythology, religious background other than like Sith has been Jedi, and now we're getting Mandalorian. That's just as, if not more rich than Jedi.
Hell yeah. I'm so excited.
Yes.
I'm really excited about this special segment, though.
Yes. We got some director highlights. You know, they only have 6 directors on board for all 8 episodes this season, and each of them are special in their own right. So today, and we've been talking about her all episode, we're highlighting Deborah Chow, incredible director. I'm just going to go down her list right now, because she is probably the best resume of any TV. Some respect on her name. First off, she did a film, 2010, called The High Cost of Living with Zach Braff. Really underrated indie. This was fresh out of college. That's so rare. Right out of grad school, you complete a major feature film with an actor like Zach Braff.
Wow.
So that just shows how she can relate to these people and just get people on board with her projects, because she just has that personality. She's done so many incredible episodes of television for multiple networks. A lot of TV directors, it's unlike film, you kind of get stuck with maybe one network. You meet people here and there, and you might stick with like a CW or stick with an HBO, which is great. She's been all over the map in the best of ways. She did CW Beauty and the Beast episodes, USA Mr. Robot, Vampire Diaries, AMC's Turn, Tyrant, Iron Fist, for God's sake, 6 episodes of Rain, Fear the Walking Dead, Jessica Jones on Netflix, Snowfall, Better Call Saul, which is one of the best episodes she's done.
Wow.
The episode's called Something Stupid. There is an 8-minute opening sequence where half the screen is split, and it shows just visually a relationship dissolving with either side in each character and half the frame.
What was
it's
called?
Amazing. Better Call Saul, the episode's called Something Stupid.
Yeah. No,
she did that episode.
Yeah,
she's a baller.
I did the after show for that.
Nice.
I was reading the chat, and I totally, but I was like, wait, that sounds familiar. It is so well done. That episode of Better Call Saul. It's from the most recent season.
Yeah, most recent one.
Yeah. So,
it's so creative, and that is a director's stamp on an episode, which is, again, it's really hard to do that in TV.
Mm-hmm.
TV is more of a producer and writer's medium in that you're a director for hire.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she is so talented that she can not only add her stamp on there, but do it in a creative way that enhances everything else is so amazing. She's also done American Gods, episodes from Man of the High Castle, and the new season of Westworld and Mandalorian.
Wow.
I mean, this knocked the doors off this show. This is what every Star Wars fan has been waiting for. So shout out to Deborah Chow. Such an she's from Canada, went to school in New York, NYU. She's Columbia. She's so talented.
Let's call it right now. She's going to direct either a Star Wars, but more likely a Marvel movie. I guarantee right now.
So this is the one last thing for the highlight.
Okay.
She has been tapped to do episodes for the upcoming Obi-Wan series.
Great.
And she also has one more episode this season of The Mandalorian.
Oh,
episode 7.
Gosh.
So
yes.
Stay tuned for more Deborah Chow. Shout out to you and congratulations.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Trending.
I agree. I see her doing a Marvel movie
as
well.
Because that's usually how it kind of works. You know, it's just like, oh, you did this TV thing.
Alan Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a lot of, you look at a lot of their directors and writers, a lot of them come from TV, and then this is just a great showcase. Like, well, yeah, we have to, you know, work with her on a bigger scale.
That's such a great point.
Yeah. So much TV now is becoming so, like, Steph, you said this is like a movie. It's becoming so cinematic that it's almost like they're not doing TV, they're doing miniature movies.
100%.
Like, short movies.
Check out this tweet up here, Jeff Scott.
It actually looks like she's using the Force to direct. This is such a badass photo.
Jeff, you're absolutely right. There was no camera there. She actually just filmed it to her mind and then shared it with all of us.
Wow. Yeah, she is incredible, and it is one of the few times in Star Wars fandom history where it's a universal hell yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
We love you.
Yes.
So dope.
As with any fandom, you know people are going to eventually be like, meh, but you haven't heard it yet.
Yeah.
And
not
that's
yet.
A surprising thing.
Yeah.
Because usually, like, you know, opening day of a movie, regardless of what it is, there's going to be some people like, Baby Yoda, is he really that cute?
This is a home run.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Home run.
And
Christian,
people?
I know you had something special.
I have an
as
even
well.
Specialer segment. You referenced it before. My specialer segment is called WTF.
Okay.
What the Force? Because there are some people, we love Baby Yoda, all of us. There are some people who couldn't keep their love inside and had to immediately go on the internet, less than 24 hours, and post pictures of it. And I feel for... Imagine if you watched this show and you knew that inside that thing was a baby Yoda. It would not have been as good.
Oh.
And there are... Like, the show didn't premiere in Australia till this week. And as you referenced, Steph, it won't be in Europe until, like, March. All right, that's kind of on them. I wouldn't ask you to wait till March. But, like, who had time to watch it except us? And he's everywhere. But I love the Baby Yoda memes. But I know my friend Brad lives in Australia.
Yo, I've never been read for filth like this online.
I'm just saying.
You're getting called out, LeBron.
Oh, both of you did it. No, you both did it. Both posted pictures of Baby Yoda in like the first day.
24 hours.
Don't put us on blast.
Also, by the way, you're not the only ones. So it's not really just
directed. I waited 24 hours. I saw it trending. I saw pictures. And I said, you know what? Screw all that small talk.
You know what? I can't say anything because I retweeted your tweet, Steph. I
saw her tweet and then I was like, I want to retweet it, but I won't. I find the memes, I direct message them to you guys.
I'm crying.
The force. Watch it night. Whoa.
Unfortunately, we do have to wrap. Thank you so much for that shade. But let's get into like one line predictions, starting with the Shade Master himself.
TV predictions.
I was wrong. I predicted it for this episode. We have to get a space battle.
Yeah.
Like, now he's left the planet. Everybody's coming for him. I think we have to get a space battle in this show, and I think it's next week. It doesn't have to be the whole show, but I think it's got to be early in the episode, because first of all, where's he going?
Right.
He doesn't know who to take this thing to. So wherever he goes, people are going to be hot on the trail. And whatever's left of the Empire, they're like, yeah, this is a pretty pretty high-level operation we were running that we gave you a ton of those little pallets for. So, yeah, we want that thing back. So I'm predicting space battle.
All right. I'm definitely predicting that next episode we're going to get one of these bounty hunters or assassins like Ming-Na Wen or Gina Carano, or I also have a feeling Bill Burr is going to be in that character. I think we're going to get that role. I think we're going to get one of those characters in the next episode, and that's going to be like the big... There's now these high-level assassins are going to be coming after him.
I retweet that. This is kind of cheating, but in that interview with all the directors last week, they had Bryce Dallas Howard on stage, and she got to do episode 4. So she's next week, and she did mention that she introduces Gina Carano's character in her show. So I think we're going to get a new planet. I predict we're going to get new allies for Mando. And I also predict we're gonna get. I'm not thinking space battle. I'm thinking just more in pursuit. It's more runaway now.
Yeah. That's fair.
This was more confrontational, Western style standoff. I think this is gonna be. We're chasing you now. It's gonna be like a chase film.
Yeah. Okay. I think new enemies, new allies, and And I think we're gonna get a flashback every episode now because we've kind of stayed on that track, which I love. And I think that we're gonna find out that a Jedi did get him.
Get him.
So, could it be a Jedi that we know?
Perhaps Christian
Mace Windu.
Perhaps. So we won't be here for Thanksgiving. We will try to do something.
We'll let you know when to see the episode. Bree was trying to figure it out, and Brianna, who works here, hadn't quite.
Bree has not figured it yet.
That's amazing. But she has not figured it out.
We will write it in the comments. We'll also tweet about it, it, and we will let you know as soon as our coverage is going to be out. Until then, though, Christian, where can we find? You
can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ, and you can find Zia and myself Thursdays on Marvel Movie News on the Popcorn Talk Network at 1 Pacific, and also daily for Marvel News Daily, also on Popcorn Talk.
And I'm Zia Anderson, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Zia_Land, and just super quick news and gossip, like super quick, just because holidays are coming up. No, this is just because the holidays are coming up. Originally... We weren't going to get any Baby Yoda merchandise because they didn't want to spoil it.
Wait, what?
So it wasn't in the original merchandising line. But we are going to get Baby Yoda merchandise in time for the holidays.
Okay, I'm buying
it
right now.
There are two shirts. They're not available yet. In the coming weeks, there'll be some like toys and stuff and plushies for pre-order. Yes.
I have two kids.
But right now, there are two shirts on sale at Amazon. One is $22.99, one's $25.99. And where you can find all of the Yoda merchandise when it comes out is going to be Amazon, Zazzle, Target, Kohl's, Macy, Hot Topic, and Box Lunch. And, of course, the Disney Store, Shop Disney, and Disney Parks.
And Amazon.
So you will and Amazon. You will be able to get Baby Yoda merchandise for the holidays.
That was so essential that you stepped in and fixed my mistake of skipping our news and gossip. Thank
you. Bad news is so important.
And where can we find you? Baby Yoda. Twitter and Instagram at Xia underscore land. It's XIA underscore land.
And just like The Mandalorian, it will get you your package in 2 days. Yes. Amazon will. You can find me at Ryan Nilsson underscore on Instagram and at Ryan Nilsson on Twitter and on the Popcorn Talk Network every 4 p.m. PST on Thursdays. Star Wars news. Tune in. And Mandalorian every Friday. We'll let you know what our plan is.
And where do people find that article?
Oh, my goodness, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Maria Menounos. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Maria Menounos, for tweeting out my Yoda, Baby Yoda theory.
I love
on
the AfterBuzz TV.
Thank you so much. On the AfterBuzz TV website. So you can go on AfterBuzzTV.com and check out that article. Thank you so much, Kevin and Maria, once again.
Yeah, thank you. That article is awesome. I'm Steph Sabraw. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabraw. And have a happy, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you eat so much. And may the Force be with
happy
you.
Happy Life
always.
Day.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.